With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We'll get back to your phone calls here coming up in a bit. I do want to talk about how yesterday was a major redemption day for a few members of the team. Sky Moore deserves a lot of credit. He got a lot of criticism early in the season about his contributions on special teams, and he came up in a major way and made a play that helped this team win yesterday. We'll talk about some of the players who found redemption in a Chiefs win yesterday and helped guide them to the Super Bowl. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Centric. Learn more at centric.com/610. Our NFL playoff coverage is also brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. We'll get back to your phone calls here coming up in a bit, 913-586-7610. But right now, let's head to the phone lines to be joined by Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati to get the Bengals' perspective of the AFC Championship game. Mo, we appreciate you joining us. What's been the feeling and sentiment in Cincinnati after yesterday's loss?
I think there's a combination of anger at the officiating, anger at the NFL, frustration with how the game played out, disappointment in how the offensive line played, and I think a very serious lament of an opportunity that they've let slip away. You know, you could talk about how bright the future is for this team, and I believe that it is, and how they're going to play in more big games like last night's. But you only get so many chances. This was a really, really good team, arguably the best team they've ever had, and to fall short of a championship, fall short of even a chance to play for a championship, is thoroughly disappointing.
What's the biggest frustration towards the officials? I've seen various calls that have been disputed. What are the handful of plays that Bengals fans are most upset about?
I think the one that they're most upset about is the one that I think they have the most legitimate beef on, and that's the hold on the last offensive play by Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Joseph Osai penalty, that was a legit call. The administrative mistake with, you know, basically awarding the Chiefs a free play, frankly, really didn't impact the outcome of the game. And once the official made a mistake, the ruling was correct to basically do the play over. I think, though, if you were to boil it down to one that has them most upset, it's the holding call that involved Trey Hendrickson on the Patrick Mahomes scramble that set up the game-winning field goal. There's a block in the back on that punt that a lot of folks have focused on. But if we boil it down to one, I think that holding call has ignited the most anger, if you will.
Right now we're talking to Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. How much of the frustration is actually placed on the team? Because I'm looking at the game flow of the game. It's tied 20-20. Joe Burrow throws an interception. They then get another opportunity to score. They then punt the football. Cincinnati still had a chance to win this game late based off their offense and their quarterback, and they didn't do that yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think there's two different issues with the team. I think there's the slow start. First 10 offensive plays, Cincinnati had 3 sacks given up, a false start, and a holding penalty. And look, you know, we saw the 3 games that Cincinnati and Kansas City played last year and this year. The first two, Chiefs built big leads, built a 14-0 lead at Paul Brown Stadium, became a 21-7 lead, and then obviously in the AFC Championship game last year, 21-3 deficit the Bengals overcame. That's great. You can't continue to dig yourselves holes, and even if you do, and the Bengals did, you just can't help but wonder how much the game would have played out differently had they started faster. So you start with that. But then you're right. Look, Joe Burrow had the ball in his hands on 2 drives in the fourth quarter, with the game tied. And in the second one, all you really need is a field goal. If I would have said to any Bengals fan yesterday, all right, tie game, Joe's going to have the game in his hands, he's going to have timeouts, he's going to have the two-minute warning to work with, oh, and by the way, you've got a very good kicker, and so you're only going to need to get to field goal range, I think most Bengals fans would have taken that. Unfortunately, it wasn't that dissimilar from how the season ended last year. Last year, they played in the Super Bowl against the LA Rams. What happened? They had no answer for Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald ruined everything the Bengals were trying to do in that football game. Last night, it was Chris Jones. Two sacks, five pressures. He forced an intentional grounding, bunch of quarterback hits. He was terrific. You worried about their fatal flaw catching up to them when the postseason began, right? They were starting the postseason with two backup offensive linemen. That became three when Jonah Williams got injured in the playoff opener against Baltimore. The offensive line held up fine last week. In fact, the offense cooked. But number one, the weather was going to be more favorable to a defensive line. Number two, Kansas City just has a better defensive front. That was the fear all week. Was the offensive line going to be able to have the same type of performance we saw against Buffalo against a better defensive front? And the answer was no.
Right now, we're talking to Mo Edgar of 1530 in Cincinnati, getting the Cincinnati perspective on last night's AFC Championship game. I view the game as the things that Cincinnati did to win the first three games they didn't do in this one, especially the last two. They did a good job protecting Joe Burrow. They didn't do a great job in this one. They were able to avoid the big costly turnover. They had a couple of them in this game. I just thought this was maybe the sloppiest we've seen Cincinnati play over those four games, and ultimately that's what did them in.
Yeah, they couldn't take advantage of the breaks that they did get. But no, you're right. I mean, start with the way they began the game offensively. Roll into the conversation that the pick that Joe Burrow throws late in the first half. Now they overcame a lot of that stuff. They did come back and tie the game. They were terrific at the end of the first half, and not only keeping Kansas City from scoring more points when it was 13-3, but they went down the field and ended up getting points before the half. But I think you could look at some of the clock mismanagement there. They called timeouts on three consecutive plays, which I think may have cost them 4 points. In a game like this, when the margin for error is really, really thin, those things get magnified. And they certainly did. And then again, look, last year in the fourth quarter, the Bengals were the better team against Kansas City. Earlier this season, in the game played on December the 4th, the Bengals made a critical play in the fourth quarter, and their offense came up big with a game-ending drive. You're right. What they did well in those games prior to last night, they didn't yesterday. They had a chance. They had two chances with Joe Burrow on the field, and the game tied. And in that last one, all you needed was, and they couldn't get it. I thought there was a play in that sequence in which Joe Burrow could have run for a significant chunk of yardage. Instead, he dumped the ball off to his tight end. That ended up being a two-yard gain. The intentional grounding play hurt, even though they did come back and get a first down after that. But at the end of the day, their offensive line got beat up. And when I think of this game, I don't know, a year from now, I'm going to think about Chris Jones being the best player on the field, because last night I thought he was.
Mo, there's a feeling in Kansas City that Cincinnati did a lot of talking over the course of the week, whether it was the Burrowhead comments, whether it was Cincinnati mayor. There's been a lot of, I don't want to say dancing on the grave of Cincinnati, but definitely that the Bengals got what they had coming to them. What does that side think of basically everything we've heard the Chiefs say here over the last 12 hours or so?
I mean, look, what I'll say is this. I'm not sure you're going to find many Bengals fans who don't feel like the mayor of Cincinnati had it coming last night based on that video that he shot. That was idiotic. And so you knew that was going to be thrown back in his face. And I think most Cincinnatians will be right there with you on that one. But look, I mean, Mike Hilton coined the term Burrowhead. You knew that if Kansas City won the game, that was going to be thrown back in their face. I think the Bengals have a very likable team, a very fun team, and a team that, for the most part, they understand that there's a line between fun and immaturity. But I do wonder if they're in the same position next year, if there's going to be a little bit less of that, if there's going to be a little bit, you know, tempering of the celebrations for what they accomplished, a little bit less smack talk, I don't know that you're going to have nearly as much of that. And look, from a Bengals KC perspective, it was rooted in the fact that they had beaten them three times. I also think this team really rallied around the idea that the NFL screwed them with the way they were going to see the postseason and maybe have a coin flip determine the site of a Baltimore-Cincinnati playoff game. And they rallied around the whole neutral site AFC championship game, had it involve Kansas City and Buffalo. And I get it. You know, athletes, you need to find things to rally around in order to get motivated, in order to have an edge, and in order to come together. Those things are as old as sports themselves. But did things get a little bit too over the top from a trash talk perspective? Maybe. And I think if they're in the same position next year, it'll be interesting to see if they dial some of that stuff back.
Last question here, Mo, and we appreciate your time. This feels like the it rivalry in the NFL. What's next for Cincinnati? You lose in the AFC championship game. You've got a big decision when it comes to Joe Burrow's contract and how it's going to be structured. What do you think is in the next 6 months for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, you're right. I think this has turned into a terrific rivalry, and we're in this golden era of these AFC teams with terrific quarterbacks that you expect to just be, you know, going up against each other for years to come in big regular season games and obviously in playoff games. As for the Bengals this offseason, you're right. The first thing that's going to get done is a Joe Burrow contract extension. I think there's some interesting angles to that. One would be, what does Justin Herbert get from the L.A. Chargers? What does Jalen Hurts get from the Philadelphia Eagles? You know, those are two players that have contract extensions coming up. How do those deals impact what the Bengals give Joe Burrow? How does what Joe Burrow gets impact other roster decisions, both this offseason and down the road? They still have an offensive line question. They've got some very good potential free agents that they've got to figure out a way to keep. They could possibly lose both of their starting safeties. They've got some decisions to make about players who have a year left on their deal in terms of what those guys are going to get long term. And I think the Burrow deal itself is going to be interesting because he obviously could sign one of these, you know, 10, 12-year contracts. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he signs something that keeps him here for the short term, but gives him a chance to tap into free agency maybe when he's 30 or 31 years old, perhaps take advantage of an exploding salary cap by then. But this is going to be a fascinating offseason. And I think to a degree, that's what adds to the disappointment of last night. The window isn't going to close for this team. These guys, I think, should be considered favorites to win the AFC North next year. I don't think it would surprise anybody if they found themselves back in the AFC championship game in a year. But the makeup of the roster is going to change. Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, is going to get a head coaching interview with the Cardinals. Apparently the same for Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator. So there's going to be change. And with change comes uncertainty. What was certain was they had a chance to go to a second consecutive Super Bowl last night, and they let that chance get away. And when you add that to, you know, the questions this team has in front of it over the next 6 months, that just compounds the frustration and disappointment.
That is Mo Edgar with 1530 in Cincinnati joining us on the show today. Mo, let me say this. I appreciate all the flexibility you've shown us here over the last 4 or 5 weeks. You guys have certainly been at the center of a lot of big NFL topics, and I appreciate you. And I want to say this for everybody in Kansas City. If you see Eli Apple, tell him that everybody in Kansas City said that we hope he enjoys Cancun.
You know, we talked a lot last week of all the players who were going to have the receipts shown at them. Eli Apple was going to be at the top of the list. The Eli Apple experience is a roller coaster, and this just adds another chapter to it. So I'm sure Eli's having a good time today.
Thanks, Mo.
Okay, see you, man.
That's Mo Edgar of ESPN 1530 joining us on the show. We'll get your reaction coming up on the other side, 913-586-7610. If you want to call, now is the time to do so. We'll also talk about there were a handful of players who got a little bit of redemption yesterday. I'll tell you who they are, plus your phone calls. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison. If you missed Patrick Mahomes on Monday at 2:15, you can listen on demand on the brand new Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Again, Mecole Hardman injured earlier, so was Kadarius Toney and Justin Watson. All three guys that have done punt returns this year, all injured. Justin Watson inactive tonight. 20-20 tie, 41 seconds. They put 2 seconds back on the clock. Man, line drive punt, very returnable. Taken by Sky Moore at the 20. Wants a right return. Sky Moore at the edge, 35. Sky Moore, 40, up the sideline and near midfield. Sky Moore in front of the Cincy bench. Where will they mark him out? It's a 51-yard punt, 24 yards on the return. There is no penalty flag. And a great block on the outside, it looked like from Darius Harris.
Our NFL playoff coverage here on 610 Sports Radio is brought to you by Centric. You can learn more at centric.com/610. It's also brought to you by Metro Ford. You can visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. If you are on hold, stay there. We will do our best to take you in this segment, 913-586-7610. If you want to call, now would be the time to do so. If you want to chime in about yesterday's AFC Championship game, before we get to your calls, I got to give a couple of guys credit for having what I would call a redemption day. I want to play you guys this audio cut. This is from December 1st of last year. You guys remember that Sky Moore was having some problems fielding punts. I remember sitting across from Nate Taylor, and he said that Sky Moore told him he had trouble tracking the football when it was in the air. Seems pretty difficult to be the punt returner if you have a tough time tracking balls. But the Chiefs had a vision. They had a plan. They had a purpose for Sky Moore. Listen to what Dave Tobe said almost 2 months ago.
We're not giving up. We don't quit. We just don't quit on players. You know, we're going to keep working them and keep developing them. I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to get better. You know, I've said it before. We went to the limit with him, obviously. And, you know, we need to get him out of there for a while and let his head settle down a little bit. The best thing was that I saw was the fact that he came in there on as a wide receiver, made a great catch for us, and, you know, didn't let that one play, you know. And I know Coach talked about that too, but that was really impressive to me.
I was one of the people that was advocating for them to quit, for them to give up on Sky Moore and not give up on him as a wide receiver. But up to that point, there was no reason to have that kid back there fielding and receiving punts. He made the biggest special teams play of the year yesterday. I got to give him his credit. Redemption. Congratulations, Sky Moore. You're part of the reason on why this team is going to its third Super Bowl in the last four seasons. Oh, there were more players who had a redemption yesterday. I said on this show, and I remember hearing myself say it, that special teams was going to potentially be something that got this team knocked out of the postseason. Ever since Dustin Colquitt went on that I Hate Tommy Townsend World Tour, they have not had any issues. They have not had any punting issues. They have not had any holding issues. They haven't had any field goal issues. Harrison Butker, redemption. It was looking real shaky there for a few weeks. The Chiefs were having special teams gaffes and blunders weekly. A hold, a missed kick, a missed extra point. The hold was bad. You guys remember the conversations we were having in November and December? Redemption. I give the Chiefs special teams a lot of credit for what they did yesterday, and their special teams played a major part in a win. You guys can be honest about this. Some of you wanted the Chiefs to get rid of MVS. I know. I'm here every day. I saw the text line. Some of you guys wanted MVS out of here. Some of you didn't think that MVS was living up to the expectations. In a playoff game, 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. They needed a wide receiver to step up yesterday. They needed one. MVS was that wide receiver. 116 yards receiving yesterday. You want to know what their number two wide receiver did? So MVS had the most wide receiver yards. Number two was Marcus Kemp with 13. MVS was the explosive playmaker that he was penciled in to be when he came here from Green Bay. Redemption. I got to give him his flowers. I got to give him his credit. Salute to MVS. Those are the three players that I want to shout out today. I want to shout out Harrison Butker, who was missing about a kick a week from weeks 7 to 14 this year. I want to give a special shout out to Sky Moore, who couldn't field a punt for about 2 months. And I got to give one to MVS, who was known for dropping a pass a couple times over the course of the regular season. Those three guys stepped up yesterday, and you knew that you needed contributions from somebody not named Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Mahomes was good yesterday. Threw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, had the fumble but didn't throw an interception. That was his one big mistake of the game. They couldn't run the ball effectively. They ran for 42 yards yesterday. It was on Mahomes to figure it out. It normally is. They needed a couple of other X factors to really pop up, and that person was MVS yesterday. He had 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown, and made some big plays down the field, helping this team beat the Cincinnati Bengals and head to its third Super Bowl in the last 4 years. Let's go to the phone lines here, 913-586-7610. Bob joined into the drive. Hey, Bob.
Hey, C-Dot, how you doing today? First off, I wanted to say that I really love your show, listen to it all the time, and I really appreciate it. I just wanted to make three quick points here. On that on that do-over play, obviously, you clearly see the ref coming in. But here's the thing I'd want to ask Cincy. So if Pat Mahomes threw a touchdown on that play and they called that back, you know, what are they going to say then? You know, they're only shouting about it because it worked out for them. But if Pat threw a touchdown on that play and they called that touchdown back, then how's that change the scenario? So it's really a moot point there. As far as pushing Pat out of bounds, I wouldn't go too hard on the guy and say he lost the game because Butler would have hit that 55-yarder anyway. And then my last point is a shout-out to the defense. Fantastic game. Our rookies, corners. You know, in the Buffalo game, Burrow was getting the ball out of his hands in 2.5 seconds. Well, he couldn't do that yesterday. In fact, he had to throw it in the ground how many times? So that's a shout-out. We shout out Higgins and Chase. That's a shout-out to our cornerbacks. Love the play. Hope they can keep it up. C-Dot, thanks for the time.
I appreciate the phone call. Thanks, man. Here's my thing about the push out of bounds. You can't complain about the officiating and then want the officials to not call obvious penalties. Like, if you're on the side of the officials were terrible yesterday, they're the reason that the Bengals lost, whatever. But then I'm hearing those same people say, well, I mean, you got to let the players decide it. The game was going to head to overtime. Well, the kid committed a penalty. He's out of bounds. He's obviously out of bounds. The NFL has been very clear about something. Quarterback protection. They've also been pretty clear in those situations where Mahomes has clearly given himself up and is not only heading towards out of bounds, is multiple steps out of bounds. If you hit him in that scenario, they are dinging you 15 yards. You know that. You know it. So I don't feel any sympathy for that young man. I'm sorry, but you made a terrible play in the absolute worst moment, and now you will go down in Cincinnati sports history. You're Lynn Elliott. You're the guy that potentially cost them the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if Harrison Butker was going to make that super long kick. But it's also important to notice that the Chiefs did just go out of bounds, so there's still time for them to run another play. They could just get in field goal range anyway. Like that is a possibility of what happens. We'll never know because they got a 40-something yard field goal there. And Harrison Butker, with the way that he's been kicking here the last couple of weeks, it was nails. It was right down the middle. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Sam called into the drive. Hey, Sam.
Hey, what's going on, C-Dot?
Hey, Sam.
So I wanted to talk about, and I'm not trying to besmirch the Chiefs here or anything, but I want to talk about how I absolutely thought after the Bengals converted that 3rd-and-16, I absolutely thought the Chiefs were going to lose the game. I had written it off. I was like, the Bengals are going to go down, kick a field goal, score a touchdown, do whatever. And the fact that the Chiefs were able to come back, get a stop after I had written the game off, just made it that much better for me. And I think that they showed some grit and some determination by getting a stop there.
Sam, I'm with you. I appreciate the phone call. Now, not that this is a scientific poll at all, but in late game situations, I always do a you make the call. So I go through the scenarios. And what do you think is going to happen? You know, you're watching the game over the flow of the game. What do you think is going to happen? So, Rob, if you remember, Kansas City punts the football. I would say a pretty controversial punt. They punted the ball from 4th-and-8 from the Cincinnati 37-yard line with 2 minutes and 36 seconds left. Now, Tommy Townsend had a great punt, pins them deep. Cincinnati now has the ball 1st-and-10 from the 6-yard line. At that moment, Rob, I put out a poll. What do you think happens? Bengals either make a field goal or score a touchdown here, so they score. Bengals miss a field goal, Bengals interception or fumble, or turnover on downs and a punt. Bengals score had 74% of the votes. A lot of Chiefs fans in that moment thought when their offense surrendered the ball to Cincinnati that that was the end of the game. That's what they thought. I was sitting there watching the game, and I know I wasn't the only person that thinks this. I thought the Chiefs should have been up by way more at that point. I thought the Chiefs dominated the first 30 minutes of the game and just didn't really have a whole lot to show for it on the scoreboard. I don't think the Bengals really showed they could stop Kansas City on the first 4 possessions from the Chiefs. I thought the Chiefs basically did what they wanted to for the most part. I thought it was pretty easy for them. And Cincinnati did a really good job of forcing Kansas City to kick field goals. You remember, Kansas City got 2 field goals on their first 2 drives. They had a 12-play 61-yard drive, and they had another long drive in which they got a field goal out of it. I was thinking, man, the Chiefs have really controlled this game offensively and defensively and only have 6 points to show for it. So I think all of us were sort of riding the wave and the emotion of the back and forth of the game, but the defense stayed pretty constant. Jamar Chase is going to make a play or two over the course of the game. T. Higgins is too talented of a player. He's going to make a play or two over the course of the game. I thought the Chiefs did a really good job adjusting. And another player you want to talk about redemption, Brian Cook got cooked on one of those long pass plays that Jamar Chase had on that 4th-and-long and then came back and made the big tip to help force the interception.
This may shock you, but when they punted from the 37-yard line, I was irate. I was heated. You know how I feel about going for it on 4th down. I love it. I don't think you should ever punt with Patrick Mahomes on the field. I was heated. And I was in a group text with some friends, and most people were heated. But one of my friends did point out, he was like, Tommy Townsend is going to pin him deep. And the Bengals have not moved the ball at all against the Chiefs. It's like the Broncos game earlier this year. The defense is dominating the game. That guy's not going to beat us with that defense on the field, which I thought was a terrible mindset because I've seen the Chiefs defense. But credit where credit is due. And you said at the top of the show, the defense won this game. And in that moment, they absolutely won the game. Chris Jones bounced out the D end for the first time all game. And he smokes the right tackle for the Bengals. Smokes him. And that leaves the Chiefs getting the ball back, which eventually leaves the field goal to win the game. I don't think Bucker makes him 53 either, by the way. Just for the record.
I don't think there's any chance. The Chiefs kick the field goal in that situation.
I think they huck it deep or they run that little Tyreek Hill play to one of the fast guys.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to be a pessimist on this day. There's no reason to be a pessimist. But without the aid of the penalty, if the Chiefs don't get another 10 to 15 yards, I don't know if Harrison Bucker makes that field goal. I don't even know if they attempt the field goal in that situation. I'm positive, but I don't know if I'm that positive. I don't know if I'm there yet. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Stetson, you called into the drive. Hey, Stetson.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
I just want to start by saying we could complain about the officiating, too, because that holding call when Pacheco scored didn't look that dang bad, but it's no big deal. The thing that I wanted to talk about is they talk about Patrick Mahomes. If Burrow had a sprained ankle, well, let me back up. The second time the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl, they had a crappy offensive line, and the Buccaneers exploited it. So don't cry about that. Then if we switch places, if we could put Mahomes on the Bengals team yesterday and give Burrow a sprained ankle, Burrow couldn't do anything like Patrick Mahomes did. You have to understand that in top-tier quarterbacks, there's tiers inside the top tier, and Burrow's still not better than Patrick Mahomes.
Stetson, I'm with you. I don't even know if there's a tier inside of it. I just would say that Mahomes is just playing a different game than the rest of them are playing. He's playing a different game. You know how earlier Dan Orlowski did that? Well, Mahomes is the best player, but Burrow's the best quarterback. I'll do my own. Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest athletes we have ever seen. Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. He's a great quarterback. We've seen a lot of great quarterbacks in our time. Like we can probably think of 25, 30, 35 great quarterbacks than we've seen. Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest athletes we have ever seen. He is one of the greatest athletes that this country has ever produced. I don't even think that's like a crazy thing to say anymore. If that's not the side that you're on, I just don't know what you've been watching with Patrick Mahomes. Think about yesterday. Ankle injury, back injury from Travis Kelce. The Chiefs ran for 24 yards yesterday. His number one receiver was hurt. His number two receiver was hurt yesterday. And they still found a way to go out there and win. They found a way to win with the defense, Travis Kelce, MVS, and a seventh-round rookie, and they figured out a way to win. That is not normal, man. That is not normal. So, yes, that's the difference. One of them is in the conversation with, like, Messi and LeBron and just the greatest athletes in the world. Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. There is a difference in the two. And I got nothing but respect for Joe Burrow. I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. They are not the same. They are not fighting the same battle. Not at all. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 913-586-7610. Richard, you called into the drive. Hey, Richard.
Hey, C-Dot. How's it going?
Doing good, man.
I was at that game last night. It was an incredible atmosphere. You can hear I'm still a little hoarse from yelling my lungs out last night when that field goal went through the uprights. But when I was there, I had this distinct feeling that I was watching the entire season get wrapped up with a nice, tight little bow. It almost felt like an episode of Ted Lasso or something. We see all the storylines from the beginning of the season and the offseason all wrapping up. We had questions about our tackles. How many times did Mahomes take a sack yesterday with a bum ankle? We had questions about our receiving core. And as they all got depleted one by one by one, more guys stepped up and made clutch plays. We had questions about our coaches and our play calling. We had questions about Butker's ability to make a field goal. He was perfect on the night. Sky Moore, you already mentioned how he was the special teams, you know, GOAT, and not the greatest of all time, but the GOAT. Fumbling three, and this, he catches three clean punt returns. and returns one for a clutch yardage that was desperately needed. It just felt like too good to be true. And I thought it was a pretty incredible story. Now, I do have one question for you.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of the analysts, including the Kansas City home analysts, that were making predictions about this game, such as Nate Taylor, a lot of them picked the Bengals to win. You know, and I understand that even if you love this team, if you have journalistic integrity, you have to try not to be a homer. So I'm not hating on them or anything, but my question is this. When it comes to how many times does Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have to win in these situations before we start to actually believe in their ability to overcome adversity, rather than kind of maybe having this Midwest mindset of like, well, any day now, any minute now, the other shoe is going to drop and it's going to be same old Chiefs. Yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts about
that. No problem, Richard. I appreciate it. I don't know if I get the sense, at least in picking Cincinnati. I think the two teams are just really, really even. If you change one or two plays, Cincinnati wins that game the same way that Kansas City wins it. If you really think about it, it was a roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness, away from going to overtime in a legitimate coin flip where I don't know who has the advantage. Like, it's not like Kansas City's offense was on fire in the second half of the game. Like, they scored 7 points or 10 points, excuse me, because they had the field goal at the end. Up to that point, they had scored 7 points over the 29 minutes in the second half of the game. So I don't know if it's a guarantee the Chiefs win that game if it goes to overtime. I think the two teams are fairly even. It was just your turn. The Chiefs just played a cleaner game. They were better yesterday than Cincinnati. They were better on third downs. They did a better job of getting after the other team's quarterback. They were more efficient in the red zone. They won the turnover battle. If you check those boxes, you win a close 3-point game the way that they did yesterday. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to take your phone calls. We'll also be joined in studio by Mitch Holtis. He'll be on the show in about 20 minutes. We have to do a very special drive investigation. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch former All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz Tuesday starting at 3 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 610 Sports Radio.
All right. There is a controversy right now on the internet. And we're all responsible adults. I think we can have this conversation. Now, I'm going to play for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Do some audio here. I don't want to set it up. I don't want to taint the jury pool. I just want you guys to hear Tony Romo from yesterday. I'll play it, and then on the other side of it, we'll then react to it. But I don't want to set it up. I just want to play it, and I want you to hear it. And then we'll talk about it.
The extra yards, the tough yards, the finish on the play. Right there, you got three. And you talked about it. This is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
That is unedited audio there. I'm going to play it one more time because maybe you didn't catch it. Maybe you didn't hear it. And then we'll talk about it. This is Tony Romo yesterday. Isaiah Pacheco catches a nice little screenplay, fights for some extra yards, gets a first down. This was Tony Romo yesterday.
The extra yards, the tough yards, the finish on the play. Right there, you got three. And you talked about it. This is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
All right. This is the thing. I want to be very clear here because I know how people misinterpret and miscommunicate things. I'm not accusing Tony Romo of anything. In fact, I actually find it pretty humorous and pretty funny. This is what I want to know. What do you guys think Tony Romo is trying to say in that clip? Like, what do you think he's trying to say? Because I don't know what he's trying to say. I know what it sounds like he's trying to say, but I don't think he's trying to say that. I'm not accusing Tony Romo of that. What do you think he's trying to say? He's not trying to say Bengals. He's not trying to say Chiefs there. What do we believe he's trying to say there? Because this is going viral, and it's hard to argue with what people are saying based off the audio clip.
I wish I had an answer. I don't have an answer. I want to communicate this clearly. I don't think Tony Romo was about to say the thing you should never, ever say.
I don't think he was trying to say that either. But I just don't know what he's trying to say.
He definitely
Someone
says.
Someone on the text line says he's saying Niners. Why would he be saying Niners in that situation?
That's the thing. It's the
Tell
third.
Me why he would be saying Niners during the Chiefs and Bengals game. He wasn't on the call for the NFC. If that was the case, oh, okay, yeah, that's what he was trying. What do we. That's what I'm saying here. I don't know. That's why we have to do a drive investigation. We got to do a thorough investigation. I can't convict Tony Romo on this. I can't convict him.
The evidence is circumstantial, but
it's very circumstantial.
But it is hard to answer what's he going to say there. And if your answer is Niners, which is very popular on the text line right now, you have to then accept that Tony Romo would have been two quarters into calling the AFC Championship game and then in the middle of third quarter just be like, whoops, forgot where I was.
Okay, I'm going to play it one more time, and then we'll move on. This is investigation. We got to go through the evidence here. We got to go through the evidence. I'm going to play it again. Listen carefully to Tony Romo here and tell me if I'm crazy.
The extra yards, the tough yards, the finish on the play. Right there, you got three. And you talked about it. This is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
What do you think? 913-586-7610. Again, I want to be clear. I am not accusing Tony Romo of anything. This is for entertainment purposes only. I'm not trying to get Tony Romo canceled. I think it's funny. I just want to know what he was about to say. That's all I want to know. I just want to be clear on what Romo was about to say in that situation. I just want to know. That's all I want to know.
A popular answer on the text line is nickel, as in nickel corners. But
you'd have three of them in the game?
That's
yep. You have three?
Also, one of the guys making that tackle was a linebacker.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm just asking. I just want to know, man. I just want to know.
I don't think he's saying
because
that.
The thing is, he aborts so quickly out of it, which is what makes it funny. They got three. You know, it's quick. It's real quick.
And then he totally changed the sentence. Not like he like paused. Yeah, yeah. Like he paused and went Cincinnati defenders. He paused and then goes, and they're a great tackling team,
yeah.
Jim.
That's why we had to do an investigation. That's exactly why we had to check. Just to make sure Tony Romo's on the up and up. Because I was a little uncertain there for a second. On a very on a very serious side note from Tony Romo, it feels like people are kind of over Romo. It kind of feels like it. I mean, for a while there, you guys loved Romo. America was infatuated with Tony Romo. I feel like that time is over. I don't think Tony Romo is very beloved anymore. I would actually say that Tony Romo might be the least popular of all the color commentators. Greg Olsen is good.
You think he's less popular in this town than Joe Buck? I know. I guess you said color commentators.
Yeah. I think most people, you might not like Joe Buck, but you got to acknowledge that guy's good. You know what I mean? Like, I know the Madison Bumgarner, you can't listen to Joe Buck call a game and not come away super impressed at how polished he is and how refined he is as a broadcaster. He's really good. But Collinsworth seems to be more beloved right now than Tony Romo. Greg Olsen's been great. I'm excited to hear Greg Olsen on the Super Bowl call. I think Fox made the wrong decision giving Brady all that money. I'd be perfectly fine if they kept the 1-2 team they have right now. They got a strong 1-2 team, I think, at Fox with Greg Olsen and Kevin Burkhardt. I just feel like the Aikman thing, people ain't really checking for him no more. People ain't really checking for him no more.
He definitely sounds like, the broadcast at times sounds like two guys who golf on Fridays opposed to production meetings, which I think they do golf on Fridays every week. So it's starting to sound a little like that. Because Nance ain't great anymore either. Let's be honest. Nance is starting to lose the heater a little bit.
I'm not about to do Jim Nance like that. No, we're not doing. I'm not letting you do this.
He's the third best play-by-play guy now.
Someone on the text line says, "CDOT, what do you mean by color commentators?" That was a good one. That was a good one. I can't lie. That was a good one.
Man, that's what Romo was saying.
Yeah, no, that's certainly what it sounds like. No, that's what it sounds like. People on the text line are mad at me. I just wanted to play it. And what do you think that he said? That's all I want to play. I'm not hating on Romo. Just, you heard the clip. You said heard the same clip that I heard. What do you think Romo was trying to say in that situation? Because I don't know what he was trying to say. I'm very much confused at what he was trying to say. All right, coming up on the other side, Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, will join us in studio. He got a chance to see the Chiefs go to their third Super Bowl in the last four seasons. Mitch Holthus coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.